In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A while ago, I went over to Schnucks to pick up a few things, and I ran into a woman who only the Sunday before had, with her husband and three children, visited the Church of St. Michael and St. George, and whom I'd met at the back door on their way out. After exchanging pleasantries with her in the grocery store, I told her how glad I was that she had come, and I hoped that I would see her again. She replied, "Well, we enjoyed the service, but right now we're just shopping around for the church that meets our needs." After all, what is church for if it's not for meeting our needs? But sometimes church doesn't meet our needs. Sometimes God doesn't meet our needs. Sometimes God doesn't come to us, even when we come to God. Even when we come to God in worship, God does not open our ears. God remains silent, and what then? Are you willing to worship, to love, and to serve God as God is, rather than you would have God be? In today's gospel, Jesus invites his disciples to go with him to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. Although Jesus invites them to sail, Mark says they took Jesus with them just as he was. And is so often the case when the disciples are sailing with Jesus, there is a great storm. The boat becomes swamped, and the disciples are not surprisingly terrified. And where is Jesus? Well, Jesus is asleep. He's curled up on a cushion, Mark says, oblivious to the turmoil they're in. The disciples wake Jesus, demanding, "Teacher, do you not care that we're perishing?" Jesus arises, rebukes the wind and the waves, and then turns and he rebukes them. "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And with that, Mark says, the disciples are filled with awe. In the past, I've preached this story as a way that Jesus comes to us in the storm, stills the wind and the waves, and saves us. But somehow, reading the passage this time around, I'm struck by the fact that Jesus is asleep. Let's be clear. This sailing thing was Jesus' idea. They're in the boat, turned into the storm, at his invitation. Do you find it odd that Jesus would have invited them to sail into a storm? Maybe not. After all, there are people here this morning that Jesus has invited to sail into a storm. Was it your idea to care for your aged parent? You weren't the one who wanted your life to be disrupted in order to love and minister to a Down syndrome child. You're not serving breakfast at the Center for the Homeless because you thought it would be a good place to spend Sunday morning. Jesus invited you there. Jesus invited you into the storm. Sometimes God does that. Our beloved 23rd Psalm proclaims, "He leadeth me beside still waters." But sometimes Jesus leads us into a storm. Look at today's scriptures. The young shepherd is led... Excuse me, look at today's scriptures. Job is wrestling with God over the righteousness of God and the suffering he faces. In the epistle, Paul is obviously in the middle of a big fight at All Saints Corinth. David, Paul would have surely liked to have remained secluded in his study, poring over scripture, not go out and begin new churches in difficult places like Sin City, Corinth. But they got invited to sail with Jesus, and they're in the storm. God enabled the shepherd boy to triumph over the giant Goliath. God enabled Job to contend with all that he wrestled with, and sometimes God does that. And although Paul dodges the bullet at Corinth, his story ends at Rome, where he is executed by the government. Executed even though Paul obeyed God and did God's will. Sometimes God does that. And in today's gospel, where is Jesus? He is asleep on a cushion in the boat. even though the disciples are fearing for their lives. This is a bit disarming. After all, what greater purpose might Jesus have than looking after us? When Jesus awakes, he asks his disciples two questions. Why were you afraid? Of course, we know they were afraid. They thought they were going to be drowned in the storm. And he asks them, have you still no faith? What did Jesus mean by have you still no faith? Did he mean, do you lack faith that I will save you and I will rescue you? Or did he mean something more? Did he mean, do you still lack faith that I am the Son of God? We are here to worship Jesus, but let's be honest, we're also here hoping to receive comfort and enlightenment, meaning and a sense of peace, a reason to go on living, and a host of other things that we think we need and deserve. And of course, sometimes when we're at worship, we really do receive peace and meaning and comfort and a host of other divine gifts. But the truth is, all of that is secondary. The main thing is that we get Jesus. Jesus, the Son of God. And this Jesus is more than our errand boy. Mark says up front in his gospel, here is the very Son of God. Will we take Jesus as he comes at us, as he is, not as we would have him be? I'm struck that Mark says, the disciples took Jesus in the boat with him just as he was. Let's confess that we are often guilty of attempting to make Jesus into who we think we need him to be, rather than taking him just as he is. Oh, we love to reach for that old hymn, just as I am without one plea, O Lamb of God, I come. We relish our ability to come to Jesus just as we are. But do we have enough faith to allow Jesus to come to us just as he is? Jesus is in the boat asleep. He will not be jerked around by the storms on the Sea of Galilee or by the fears of his disciples. Faith means the willingness, even the eagerness, to be with God as God is, rather than as we would have God be. In my last parish, I know someone who faithfully served on the altar guild every Sunday. When her daughter was taken ill, she declared, if my daughter doesn't recover, I'm not coming back to church again. Her daughter died, and she kept her promise. She never turned back up in church again. I can understand her pain and her anger. But let us wonder at how much of our worship is an attempt on our part to get what we want from God. How much of our worship is an attempt to present Jesus the errands we need running this week, rather than an attempt to be with Jesus for Jesus' sake? The good news is that Jesus really is the Son of God, which means, among other things, that he will be just as he is, rather than how we might like him to be. And that means that being part of the adventure of being a Christian, part of the drama of Sunday worship, are all those times when we come here seeking peace or happiness or answers or something we think we've got to have, and instead we are met by a living, free, sovereign God. And that's when we're apt to join with his first disciples in their awe, exclaiming, who is this? I confess, as a preacher, I'm often guilty of presenting Jesus as if he's just another helpful means of comfortable people getting what comfortable people think they need to be comfortable. Are you sad? Come to Jesus. He'll make you happy. Trouble with your children? Come to Jesus. He'll fix them. Addicted? Lonely? Confused? Did your cleaning lady quit? Did you lose your diamond ring in a parking lot? Come to Jesus. He loves you so much, he'll help you find it. No, we are those who are in the boat with Jesus, not those who have tamed him or get to use Jesus. Sometimes Jesus leads us into calm, peaceful waters. And sometimes, for God's sake, he invites us to sail with him into the storm. Sometimes faith that means that we believe that Jesus is the solution to our problems, And sometimes faith means that we are willing to love and obey Jesus even when he brings us problems we would not have if we'd not met Jesus. The disciples in today's gospel are clearly confused by Jesus, but they're in the boat with Jesus. And maybe when it's all said and done, that is true faith. Maybe that's what it means to come to church. You're in the boat with Jesus. Amen.
And now let us stand and reaffirm our faith with the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Catholic and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Let us pray for the whole state of Christ's church and the world. Almighty and ever-living God, who in thy holy word has taught us to make prayers and supplications and to give thanks for all men. Receive these our prayers, which we offer unto thy divine majesty, beseeching thee to inspire continually the universal church with the spirit of truth, unity, and concord, and grant that all those who do confess thy holy name may agree in the truth of thy holy word and live in unity and godly love. Give grace, O Heavenly Father, to all bishops and other ministers, that they may, both by their life and doctrine, set forth thy true and lively word, and rightly and duly administer thy holy sacraments. And to all thy people give thy heavenly grace, and especially to this congregation here present, that with meek heart and due reverence they may hear and receive thy holy word, truly serving thee in holiness and righteousness all the days of their life. We beseech thee also so to rule the hearts of those who bear the authority of government in this and every land, especially Donald, that they may be led to wise decisions and right actions for the welfare and peace of the world. Open, O Lord, the eyes of all people to behold thy gracious hand in all thy works, that rejoicing in thy whole creation, they may honor thee with their substance and be faithful stewards of thy bounty. And we most humbly beseech thee of thy goodness, O Lord, to comfort and succor all those who in this transitory life are in trouble, sorrow, need, sickness, or any other adversity. We offer our thanksgiving for the Altar Guild, the people and ministry of the Church of St. Michael and St. George, and the Church of Nigeria and Nicholas the primate and bishop. And we also bless thy holy name for all thy servants departed this life in thy faith and fear, especially Richard, Carl,